Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
You know, Cole, I like our next guest. I do. But it's hard for me to not feel like it's personal when our next guest, Matt Smith, Sports Talk Media Network, has been in the press box with you in Columbia multiple times over the course of this season. And the first time I head to Columbia to cover a South Carolina game, Smitty says, nah, I'm not going to South Carolina this weekend. I'm headed to Clemson to see the Tigers take on the SMU Mustangs. Smitty, how do you respond that this is entirely personal and I should be offended?
Well, I'm ducking Beamer because I was ripping his offensive line for the last month.
Oh.
So probably just best if... No, I haven't been, although I did say on Sports Talk earlier this week, was it this week? I guess so. And whenever Lonnie Teasley was fired, and I said, oh, that's perfect. That's just that keeps the wolves at bay. That's just meat to the wild dogs because you've got to protect Shula and give them somebody. And my co-host, I'm the co-host for Phil Kornblut, and he I'm on about once a week, and he said – you know, I can't believe a coach would ever think that way. So it got me to thinking. I was like, well, I'm going to Sweeney's presser. He's going to Beamer's. It's probably best just in case Beamer reads any headlines from us or catches any of our YouTube shorts or anything, because I've just been tough on South Carolina's offensive line. But I'll have more to say about that in a minute. I just got back from Boston. It feels like I just got back from Boston. I was up there covering Clemson and Boston College, and it feels like I just got back. Because the flights were rough. I was on Spirit Airlines.
Ooh.
So you know what that's like.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's rough. You have to like lean to one side of the plane, everybody rush up to the front to get it to even out. That's tough. Smitty, let me ask you, since you brought up Lonnie Teasley there, Diesel and I obviously have talked about it a lot this week with the dismissal of Lonnie Teasley. Sean Elliott's a hands-on guy. He's a good coach. People have already been raving just this week about how the energy's different. And is the offensive line going to have 4 pre-snap penalties? Maybe not. Maybe they'll have only 1 on Saturday against Oklahoma. But when you talk about overall success of this Gamecock offense, does Lonnie Teasley impact the immediate success of South Carolina in your mind?
Well, that's a good question. This is why Coach Beamer gets the big bucks. He has to be right here in terms of it will be addition by subtraction, because now you have one less coach, and you've handed those reins to Sean Elliott. And look, he's got the credentials. We know he can coach offensive line. But what you're referring to, what you're asking is, well, wait a minute, was this really Lonnie Teasley? Was it his fault that the line was playing this poorly? And remember, they've had injuries. They also actually ran the ball with some success against LSU. And a lot of the sacks, you would have to say, have been on Lenore Sellers this year. So that's not going to change, right? He's going to hold the football.
Yeah.
But what you're asking, Coach Beamer has to be right in that these guys will respond to the new voice in the room, is what everybody is counting on, is that they'll have to, they will have to just respond. And maybe Coach Elliott will change things up a little bit. Maybe Teasley was expecting more from them, and maybe he'll simplify. And it's against a very talented Oklahoma defense and somebody we know that will run a lot of exotics in Brent Venables. But are they going to be better as an offense? Well, that all depends. Look, I've said this all season long. I know Lenore Steller's numbers aren't great. They only threw for 124 yards at LSU. I know that nobody's really popped at receiver despite all the talent they have. I know before Matthew Fuller had that big run last week against LSU, the running game wasn't doing anything. But to me, I can't judge any of the skill position guys until I see better offensive line play. Because it starts at the snap. It starts with the center calling out the assignments for the offensive line. It starts with everybody hitting their assignments so that when the game doesn't break down right away, so that Rasul Faison's not dodging somebody in the backfield. So once that offensive line, if they do respond to Sean Elliott's voice and it gets better, then we can start more harshly judging Sellers and Harbor and Vandrevious Jacobs and all the pieces that they have that have not performed so far this season. But does it get immediately better? I don't know. But if they would stop committing penalties pre-snap, if they just clean that up, if Elliott can get them to do that, that's a big win and probably worth it.
You know, Smitty, of course, it gets quiet on Cole's end right before I ask this question, but I was going to ask, doesn't it just feel right to hear some marching band warm up in the background on Friday night?
Hold on. Man, I got
it's,
you.
It's right. It's like going into Boone and smelling a little something-something in the air,
down a little bit, Diesel. I don't know. You mean yell at them?
Sure, yeah. Hey, play it again.
Get back going a little bit.
Play it again. Smitty, I was going to ask you, you know, short of, you know, essentially putting an NIL dollar swear jar type situation for every time this offensive line draws a penalty, what can Sean Elliott do, and what you know of him and his time at South Carolina before, what can he do to coach out sort of that twitchiness, the nervous movement, the poor rhythm, the miscommunication, or simply guys just not waiting to hear Lenore Sellers clap his hands before they get moving?
You know, I've talked to a few former offensive linemen and some former offensive line coaches about this. And look, all of this is conjecture, even on their part. They played offensive line or they coached it, and it's conjecture from them as well. We don't know. We don't know exactly what's going on, but the assumption is these guys were confused because not only were they often jumping pre-snap, they were then missing assignments, you know, and allowing free rushers. So it seems that the communication on the offensive line is breaking down, and that just has to get cleaned up. Now, one of the ways you can clean that up, according to those that we've talked to, is to, I keep using the word simplify and I guess streamline, and it's just to say, look, you know, this is going to be the assignment. This is what you're likely to see, and let's just go inside out and just, you know, make sure that we protect, you know, the A gap and the B gap and start there and then just protect inside out. And if there's going to be a free rusher, at least they have to come from all the way at the outside linebacker or the cornerback spot to get a look at Lenore Sellers, give him a little bit more time. But this stuff where the whole line jumps and the center hasn't snapped the ball and guys don't know which way they're going, that just flat out has to stop. Now, I know what you're saying too, but here's the job of a coach. We have to repeat this every now and then because we just saw James Franklin get fired and get a huge buyout and everything. Here's the job. We all know that those guys, we have to remind ourselves of this, they know football, but there's a D2 coach somewhere right now that can go to a chalkboard and just break down the cover two defense for you. Knowing football is only part of the job. It's a small part of the job.
Yeah.
Getting the players to do what is on that grease board is the job. And that's where Lonnie Teasley was failing. Now, I'm not saying I don't know anything. We weren't at practice. I don't know if it's all Lonnie Teasley's fault or not. But from Shane Beamer on down through Mike Shula and Sean Elliott and then Clayton White on the defensive side, the job is to make those players or get them to do what you are asking them to do. And that's all about communication and teaching and motivation. And you recruited these guys. You recruited them. So if they're blockheads, that's on you. You recruited them. So they have to respond to the coaching. that's the job, because people say, well, it's the players. You know, players are jumping. How could a coach change that? I don't know, but it's college football. You recruited them, and that's the gig. That's why James Franklin was getting whatever he was getting, $8 million a year. And when those players stop responding to that coaching, ultimately that falls first to the position coach, which is why Lonnie Teasley isn't there, and then you start looking on up. And Shane Beamer's got to get it. I mean, we talked about Lonnie Teasley. We talked about Sean Elliott. Everybody's been talking about Mike Shula. Shane Beamer's never been an offensive coach in his life, maybe. I mean, he's never been a coordinator. He's been a coach, but he's never been a coordinator. He's got to get it right. That's his job. It's a weird job to make 20-year-old people do what you're asking them to do, but that's the gig, and that's why you get paid millions upon millions of dollars.
Smitty, speaking of getting it right, by the way, I do agree with you there. When you watch that game Saturday night against LSU, the play calling may have been, and I know a lot of Gamecock fans will feel differently on this, the play calling and what Mike Shula could not do Saturday may have been just as frustrating as the offensive line play. I mean, for goodness sake, you've got a guy in Matt Fuller who looks to be the hot hand. He gets, what, 4 carries, 3 carries in the first half and 3 more in the second half. He exploded for a 72-yarder. It just feels like, while you're right, Lonnie Teasley's offensive line wasn't getting it done. I don't know if that was the biggest problem. I want to hear your thoughts on this. To me, the offensive play calling and Lenora Sellers Saturday holding on to the football and allowing himself to end drives by not getting rid of it, it seems like to me there are bigger problems that I don't know that a firing a coach will all of a sudden fix. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a good question. You know, how much of this falls on Coach Shula? Because, again, we know this is Don Shula's son. What, are you kidding me? I mean, that to have access to Don Shula growing up, and then this is Mike Shula, he's the head coach at Alabama. He's worked in the NFL. Of course he knows football. But, right, what you're talking about is, right now, why is it that when Shula is calling plays in a game, why doesn't it seem to mesh with Lenore Sellers' skill set? Why is Lenore Sellers getting the play call and not – doesn't look like everybody's on the same page, right? Because Sellers is taking sacks, taking them out of field goal range. Whatever it was that Sellers and Dowell Loggins had kind of at the end of last year, the second half of last year, that chemistry, that's what's missing right now between Sellers and Shula. And so I don't even know if you could pick out it's back to, you know, you wouldn't pick out, say, the plays are bad, but what is it about the rhythm of play calling that South Carolina doesn't seem to be able to stay balanced? They don't seem to be able to get the hands in the ball, the ball in the hands of their playmakers. And why is it that Lenore Sellers only seems to be able to make big plays? It seems like so often he's making a big play. It's 3rd and 13, and he scrambles for 9.
Right.
It's like everything is just not fitting together, and it was last year, and it hasn't hit so far between Shula and Lenore Sellers, and maybe this is the change. Because remember, Sean Elliott, this someone hasn't been talked about probably enough this year. Sean Elliott is the run game coordinator, so he wasn't just the tight ends coach; he was the run game coordinator. So he's involved in that offensive game plan, and that hasn't clicked yet. So that's what's got to change. Something has to change, and it clicks. And I don't know whether it's going to be personnel. What jumpstarts this team, right? Last year it just seemed it jumpstarted because Lenore Sellers looked like he grew up after getting some games under his belt. But now he's no better than he was at the middle of last year. Maybe this is the week. Maybe it'll click at some point. Maybe this is the week.
Smitty, we talked about this earlier in the show. What is your take on this reporting from The Athletic that the University of North Carolina was courting Saudi money to add some funds into that athletic department, and then the subsequent secrecy from UNC's GM Michael Lombardi about who he was talking to and whether or not he got the investment?
I we really lost the plot. This goes back. This smacks what of LIV Golf, right? And then you start concerning yourself with where the money is coming from, and the Big Ten was talking, you guys know this big story, was talking a couple of weeks ago about involving private equity and essentially selling out like rights of media of Big Ten schools to private equity. Well, guess what? That could be Saudi Arabian money. That could be Qatari money. We don't know where that money all comes from. I think we are, because once we opened the floodgates and these schools started to court money, they realized, okay, well, we can pay more, we can pay our players more than the others, or we can build better facilities. But in order to do that, we have to supercharge our fundraising, go outside, not just call wealthy alumni, don't just call the wealthy boosters that are business owners in our state. We go outside of that. But when you go outside of that, look what you're inviting. Look at the – and I'm not – I don't know anything about Saudi Arabian money. I don't know anything, but I know this. If there is any dark money, or there's money tied to countries or regimes that have human rights issues and all of those things, the moment you start being more of a capitalist, in other words, just open it up to the highest bidder, that's who you're inviting, because that's who's got the money. And I think it's very dangerous. I don't like it. I don't want that. I've always been in favor of some oversight there. But is the NCAA going to do anything? I think we all know the answer to that. So somebody else has to step up and step in. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable if, like, what if North Korea just says, yeah, we're just going to come in and buy Michigan State's, rights of media, and it's going to be, Kim Jong-un's Michigan State Spartan Stadium. How do we stop that? I think there has to be lines you don't cross.
You'd put a height restriction on that one, first of all.
Sorry.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to health care that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Joining us right here on The Fan Upstate. Smitty, have you been to Clemson today? I know you're going Saturday. I'll be there as well, tomorrow rather. Have you been up there today with your blue medical gloves, some tape, some healing ointment for Cade Klubnik and that ankle?
Well, here's my Cade Klubnik take. So this here's my perspective on this, because I was at the Boston College game. And by the way, give credit to Diesel. Diesel said Clemson needed to run the football. They did early against BC,
Then they didn't abandon it as so much as they just pulled Adam Randall out of the game. I think at one point Adam Randall had 10 carries and Cade Klubnik had 10 pass attempts, and I was actually going to comment to Diesel. I was going to send him a message and say, hey, you nailed it. And all of a sudden, Randall's out of the game after like 10 carries, and Klubnik's carrying the football late in the third quarter and gets crunched, which made no sense to me. Keep Randall in the game and let him carry the load and get Klubnik out. They didn't do that. Instead, Klubnik gets injured, and I'm sitting next to David Hood, TigerNet.com, and he's got the binoculars on this. We watched the replay. We all said, this looks terrible. This looks awful. They go into the tent. Members of Klubnik's family come down from the stands and are asking how he is, and they don't look happy. Garrett Riley goes into the tent. He comes out. He doesn't look happy. Okay, Klubnik comes out. He's limping badly as he comes out. In the post game, they send Cade Klubnik out. He's interviewed. How's your ankle, Cade? Oh, it's fine. I didn't even notice anything. We asked Dabo Swinney in that press conference post game. Coach Swinney, how do you think Cade's? Oh, he's okay. It's just a little ankle. He's had an ankle. It just flared up. We will send it back out there. I'm at the press conference Tuesday. Larry Williams, TigerIllustrated.com, asks, so you think Cade's not going to be restricted in practice? Oh, I don't think so. I don't think he's not going to be any problems. He'll probably practice tomorrow and Thursday and be ready for the game. Talking. That all seems like baloney now. That all what are you talking about? Now the line goes from like 10 to 4? Yep. No. Obviously what we saw with our own eyes Saturday was reality. Cade Klubnik did not look right. I can't imagine at that moment I thought, well, he I don't know if it's serious, but he won't play next week. And then now here I am, I'm you know, telling everybody, well, Coach Swinney said he's fine. I'm shrugging. Of course he said he's fine. Then when the report comes out, now we see Klubnik is almost certainly not fine. And I think it's a real issue for Clemson if Chris Vezina goes out there against a really explosive, if not great, if not complete, but explosive SMU team. Can Clemson and Vezina keep up with the Mustangs and Rhett Lashley? And I don't think so.
You know, Smitty, in the three games that Clemson has played competent football teams, they've given up 17 to LSU, 24 to Georgia Tech, and 34 to Syracuse. I'm not smart enough to do the math in my head, but that sounds like they're averaging giving up around 24 points a game to quality offenses. If you're Tom Allen, do you have a target in your mind like, hey, we got to do better than that. We got to hold them to 17 points to give Christopher Vezina a chance to outscore them?
That's a really good question. I think in a game against SMU, because you're going to see more tempo, it's not necessarily points, but points per possession, right? So when you're playing Georgia Tech, maybe there's only 10, 11, 12 possessions in that ball game. But if you're playing SMU, there's 13, 14, 15 possessions because of the tempo that they run with. So the points might not change, but what you've got to do, I think if you're Tom Allen, SMU's offense is too good to just shut them down, right? Field goals. I think this is a situation where Clemson's red zone defense has to be on point because if SMU is, you know, going up and down the field, obviously, big plays. You've got to prevent big plays because I don't know what the point total will be, but like points per possession, if SMU is getting more touchdowns than field goals, that's a real issue because I think you're just going to have trouble keeping up with Vezina. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. I've only seen Vezina in limited action, but it doesn't seem like Clemson has a lot of confidence in him either, right? Because Cade Klubnik was playing in a blowout last week until he was injured. So I think Vezina is, as you say, kind of limited. I think if Clemson scores 21 points with Chris Vezina, they're doing a great job.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network, joining us for a few more minutes right here on the Fan Upstate. Smitty, when you look at the two fan bases, South Carolina, Clemson in a similar spot record-wise entering this weekend's matchups, obviously preseason expectations were a little too high. We know where the fan bases are right now, but I'm going to ask you to look into your magic eight ball, your crystal ball here, and when the season concludes, not right now, but when the season concludes, which fan base will be more disappointed and which fan base will have more optimism after the conclusion of this season?
I think the optimism for South Carolina fans, it's going to have a lot to do with two major factors. How the offense begins to look under Coach Shula. Because, and the other one is is Lenore Sellers going to come back? Is he going to return? It's going to be hard for South Carolina to be optimistic if Coach Shula's coming back and Lenore Sellers is not.
Oh, that's a good point.
That just is it makes kind of for a messy cocktail for Gamecock fans because they want Sellers back and they don't want Shula back. But, you know, that's why I'm going to put that caveat. Maybe the offense improves here over the second half of the season. Clemson fans, I don't think there's any chance they're not going to be overall disappointed, but there's also a chance that the Tigers pull some victories down the stretch that really change the way they feel because they're now getting to the point of, okay, you're not going to win, probably won't win the ACC championship because of the way, I mean, it's going to be hard to catch Virginia. You know, who can believe that that's true? But it's going to be hard to catch teams like Virginia and Miami, so you're probably not going to play for the ACC championship. But by then, all of that vitriol would have worn off about losing to Syracuse and everything, and you're just left with the fact that, okay, didn't do that, but are you playing well in the second half of the season? I mean, that could the answer to your question may just come down to who wins the game, the rivalry game, because remember, Gamecock fans were sky high when Spencer Rattler pulled the upset over Clemson, and then they weren't good the next year. But they were on such a high because of that win, and the same can be said for Clemson. You know, they're not going to win the ACC championship, not going to win the national championship. Yeah, but if they win the state championship, they'll feel a lot better.
Smitty, I'll be driving down to Columbia tomorrow morning, so I'm going to miss James Franklin's first public interview since being fired by Penn State. He's appearing on College Game Day. Now, he has an opportunity to do what I think a lot of fans want him to do, to be defensive or be petty and rip the university, or he could be gracious and he could campaign for his next job. How do you expect that interview is going to go?
Oh, that's a good question. I think he will take the high road because the writing was on the wall. What the debate always is, and we just talked about this with Lonnie Teasley, are you better off pulling the plug mid-season? Should you have let James Franklin coach the rest of the season? Because there's a lot of arguments to be made about that. There's recruiting and there's the fact that these guys – you know, everybody laughs when I say this, but they're educators. These are young people that are still in class. And can you imagine if your professor got fired mid-season? I know everybody thinks it's just a business, but you know what? I'm on a lot of campuses. It is and it isn't. It's a weird hybrid of them being somewhere between professional football players and kids that are student athletes. Whether or not they're being paid, they're still of that age, and they still wake up in the morning and go to class. I mean, everywhere except for, you know, Kevin Durant going to Texas. But, you know, most of them are getting up and going to class. It's still and they're still going to frat parties and everything. It's still that situation, and you're firing James Franklin in front of those young people. So it's an interesting dynamic. I think he'll take the high road because I would. Somebody says they're going to give me $49 million to go away. I put on my fedora, get my Porsche, drive off and say, hey, I love being a part of Penn State while it worked, but it didn't work. It wasn't the right fit. I don't know why it wasn't the right fit, but it wasn't. And because that team had no business being whatever they are, 3-3 right now.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network, you mentioned the Clemson game. You mentioned the Clemson spread, how it started at 11.5, I believe, and now it's down to 5.5, 4.5 in different books. Does that lean you to take Clemson in the upset picks challenge, or are you thinking somewhere else? Because we need your upset pick. And just so you know, not trying to sway you here, but Wednesday, we locked the lines in at 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m., Clemson was a 9.5-point favorite over SMU. With that being said, Smitty, what's your upset pick this week?
Well, that's tempting. That's tempting because But I don't know what to believe. And here's the other thing, by the way. If Klubnik does play, even if he tries to Willis Reed this, that takes the quarterback run game out for Clemson, which has actually been effective recently. So I think Clemson's got issues against SMU. And that is tempting. I do like SMU, but I had another one in mind. By the way, South Carolina, Oklahoma. I like the Gamecocks' chances here. I know that's only about a five and a half point spread, but I like the Gamecocks' chances. Oklahoma under Brent Venables, look, just Oklahoma period in the last 2 years, has not scored more than two offensive touchdowns in any conference game. I think South Carolina might get Oklahoma, but I'm going somewhere else. I got my UCLA pick last week. This week, I'm going back to kind of a rivalry idea, third Saturday in October. Alabama, the last 3 weeks, has played Georgia, Vanderbilt, and at Missouri. Body blow theory. Those three teams, those were physical games. They were emotional games. They were four-quarter games. Even though Alabama beat Vanderbilt by two scores, that was a one-score game late in the fourth quarter. I think they're exhausted. And Tennessee, on the other hand, has been playing softer competition and not playing well. Why? They've been looking at this game. This is the game they want. And I think Tennessee has a chance to pull the upset, maybe an 8.5-point spread somewhere in that neighborhood. I just think Josh Heupel is going to have something for Alabama. And I'm reminded every now and then when I never pick against Alabama, I've got to shake this. That was Saban. They were invincible. They were a Tyrannosaurus Rex. They're not that anymore. They're just like the rest of these conference teams. They can lose a game. They can take their eye off the ball. I'm going to take Tennessee in an upset over Alabama.
You know, Smitty, back to something you said just a second ago about these student-athletes still having to go to class in the morning. Bold of you to assume they actually go to real classes at the University of North Carolina. They didn't joke about underwater basket-weaving classes for decades for nothing.
I don't disagree. I'm not disagreeing. I don't know that Cam Newton went to class at Auburn. I don't know. But I mean, by and large, most of the players are going to class. I just every now and then I go on these campuses and I might have been, you know, harsh or made a few cracks on appearances like these. And then you get around the players. I mean, speaking of Kate Klubnik, and I watch him, you know, he's kind of limping out there for the post game interview. And you think, man, these are people. And I try to entertain, try to have fun, but I also try to keep in perspective they are young people. And by being young people, they're affected by everything. They're affected by all these things said on message boards. They're affected when their coach gets fired. They're affected when people talk about their coach getting fired. And I'm reminded of that so every now and then.
Yeah. Smitty, you're the best, man. As always, we appreciate the heck out of you. Where's your high school game at tonight as we let you roll?
It is Sacristy at Myrtle Beach tonight, and I have heard, you run into this. I've heard that Myrtle Beach has the best press box in the lower state.
It's a good one.
I'm going to be, and I haven't called a game there, so I'm going to be kind of where you are every week, because when you're in Spartanburg County, they're all great press boxes.
Smitty, is that where the North-South game is?
Yes, absolutely.
Doug Okay, Straw, I was there in December.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful stadium.
Yeah.
Great setting for football, and then I've heard that it's a plush place to call the game. I mean, you know, like a college atmosphere in terms of what they do, and I'm looking forward to that. Sacristy hasn't tackled anybody in 3 weeks. Maybe they can turn it around. But
so
Myrtle Beach is pretty good.
Smitty, my last question for you: does that press box feature a Wings, Waves, Eagles, or Pacific Beachwear in it?
Well, I think we get free flip-flops and a hermit crab when we go.
Oh, man. Smitty, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, boys.
Thanks, Matt.
Oh, man. Good stuff there. Matt Smith, Sports Talk Media Network. Upset picks continue, Diesel. Let's make one big push right here in the middle of the show. And let's say next segment, 20 upset pick entries in the next segment.
All right.
That's a lot, but I believe in the Tolos. We're calling from right now to the end of next segment to get our numbers up. We've got to hit our quota, right? 20 upset picks starting now. 844-326-3663. We'll dive into the upset pick challenge next.
Wow. Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.